This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, and you're listening to the Warning Radio Program. February 21 through 25, 2024, I spoke at the Holy Ghost Conference hosted by Dr. Emmanuel Ziga. Today, Dr. Ziga speaks on who is the Holy Spirit. Let's begin.
Lift up your two hands. Worship the Holy Spirit. It's time to receive the encounter of the Most High Spirit of God. The theme is, who is the Holy Spirit? He will introduce himself to you tonight. I don't have what it takes to introduce him. He will do it himself. Receive him, embrace him, acknowledge him, honor him. He is honorable. And whoever he encounters is honored. Come, Holy Spirit. Infuse yourself into earth. Let all creation acknowledge the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Spirit that is holy. We worship you, mighty Holy Spirit. Awesome Holy Spirit, powerful Holy Spirit, omnipresent Holy Spirit, omniscient Holy Ghost, omnipotent Holy Spirit. Bless you. We revere you, Holy Spirit of God. You are the Spirit of glory. You are the Spirit of favor. There is nothing that is done in heaven or in the earth without you. You are in charge of the church on the earth. You are the best man of the bridegroom of the bride of Christ. We welcome you. We embrace you. Let the blood of Jesus make room for your manifest presence. Not by our righteousness, but by the righteousness of the Messiah who gave the evidence of his precious blood. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And let's all get into thanksgiving to the Holy Spirit. Just thank him from your heart. Thank him from your spirit. Thank him from your soul, from your mind, with all your being, for how faithful he has been to the church from the beginning to now. How faithful he has been to all creation from the day of creation till today. We love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the breath of life. You are the breath of God. There is no deliverance without you. There is no miracle without you. There is no advancement, no identity without you. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, say amen. Luke chapter 3, read from verse 21. I welcome everybody, those watching from around the globe. Good evening. Now, when all the people were being baptized, and I pray that all people in this conference, in this convention, will be baptized. And those who are watching around the globe will be baptized. The Bible says it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized. So it was a divine phenomenon taking place in the natural world that humans will be baptized. Now, this is the first episode of the baptism of any kind in the world, because in the entire Old Testament, there was no baptism, never a baptism. That word was not in the Old Testament. But in the New Covenant, it was established as a plan and a strategy of God. Why? Because of the covenant. It was a new covenant. One definition or explanation of the word baptism is identification. Identification. So I will say that now when all the people were being identified with the person of Christ, it came to pass that Jesus also being identified as the Son of Man in the earth and praying, the heaven was opened. Every member of the kingdom of God needs to carry an identity. Say identity. You need to have that DNA that you are a saint in the house of God. We have natural identification marks in every nation. You know, the other day we were in Asia and I could tell everybody was an Asian. You could see those who were Westerners on the streets of Tokyo. And you just know that you are in Asia. We got to South Korea and they were all Asians. You could tell who was an American. We came to America, you hardly see Asians. You see everybody is an American. There's something about Russians. You can just tell this man has a Russian. Their nose is very, very Russian. Their face, beautiful Russians. Say hallelujah, somebody. There's something about identity that is established by God. As it is in the spirit, so also it is in the natural. The Bible has established that so far as you are a child of God, you must have an identity. To the extent that God puts a mark on you. As a child of God and a bona fide property of God in covenant. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to manifest the kingdom of God. And if there is a kingdom, there must be citizens of the kingdom of God. Every kingdom is identified by the kingship, by the monarchy, by the citizens, by the laws. And there's one thing that makes a nation gazetted as a nation by the United Nations is that they have an identified language and they have a land demarcated in their name. So they have boundaries and borders. These four things qualify you to be accepted as a nation. So when Jesus Christ came to teach the kingdom, he was introducing a new language, a new citizenship, a new leadership, a new government, a new governance, a new covenant, and a new landmark. In the spirit, the Bible says that when Jesus came, he began to speak about the kingdom of God. When John the Baptist came, he began to speak about repentance into the kingdom. And so Jesus took over from John the Baptist the baton from repentance into the kingdom. But then to be a member of the kingdom of God, you must have some identification. We call it the ID. If you're an American, you have an ID. If you're a Russian, you have an ID. If you are from Switzerland, you have an ID. Our ID is the Holy. Say hallelujah, somebody. Your identity is the presence and the mark of the Holy Spirit that is within you. What is your identity? And let me digress a little bit. You look at the book of Acts chapter 19. Welcome to this event. Say hallelujah, somebody. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. So the Bible says that when Paul got to Ephesus, he had heard about Apollos, a man who was preaching and ministering in that region, who Paul had never met before. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." We had never heard of that before. Is there any Holy Ghost? Is there any Holy Spirit? They never heard before. Verse 3, so Paul said unto them, "So unto what then were you baptized?" So what is your ID? You have been preaching? Yes. You have been ministering the word. Yeah. So how have you been communicating the message? So what is your message? So unto what were you baptized? So the word baptized comes again here. So what is your identification? What is your identity? And they said, John's baptism. Well, John's baptism is one level. It opens the door. But there is a deeper baptism. There's a higher level that is coming, which is to be baptized into Christ by the Holy Ghost. Say hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 4, the scripture says, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, but that was not enough, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So John the Baptist baptized them into repentance by water. Water is an emblem of the Holy Spirit for cleansing. But it is just one aspect of the absolute preparation to the real indwelling. In other words, you can take your shower and be cleansed, but you can still go out again and get defiled. So the repentance by the Holy Spirit by water cleanses you. But there is another dimension of the Holy Ghost that keeps you sanctified. Even if you go and jump into the quagmire, you are still clean. You go drive in the dirt, you are still clean. There is a maintenance of the indwelling that identifies you, but there's a supernatural identity of God in the natural human beings that God has given, the Holy Spirit. Say hallelujah, somebody. Now, verse 5, Paul says, and when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. The identity began. This time, not in John's baptism, because John is not the Messiah. John was only a voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the real baptism. Say hallelujah. He was a precursor. He was a highway builder for the real events. And when they heard Paul, the identity with Christ began. Are you listening, please? The Bible says in verse 6, it says that, and when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they speak with tongues and prophesy. Can I preach this evening, please? The Bible says that the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak with tongues, which is the new language, which is the language of the new kingdom. Every kingdom is identified by its language. So Jesus Christ said, whoever believes in me must be baptized in the Holy Ghost and must speak a new tongue, because that's the language of our kingdom. Then they began also to prophesy, which is to foretell the things of the kingdom from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. In other words, the constitution of the kingdom of heaven, which is Jesus, is to be in the mouth of everybody, being proclaimed as we speak in tongues and as we prophesy the undefiled word of God. See, hallelujah. Now, with this in mind, the dimension of the Holy Spirit in you and I is to the effect that, watch this, he is both the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son in one personality. So there's an aspect of the Holy Ghost that brings you into fatherhood and shows you what the will of the Father is. And there's another aspect of the Holy Ghost that shows you what is your role as a son. How do you become a son? Your privilege as a son. Your inheritance as a son. And so he holds the Father and the Son in one personality. Say hallelujah, somebody. So when the Holy Ghost is in your life, you have a clarity of who your Father is. You also have a clarity of who you are in the Son. How can we live without the knowledge of the Holy Ghost? So Paul said, so all this while you have been preaching, into what baptism have you been preaching? Haven't you had an identity as a son? Because of the privileges sons have. Because of the inheritance given to sons. The Father gives sons inheritances. The Holy Ghost is the conduit that brings it to pass. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. Say, I receive. Receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's get back to Luke chapter 3, where we were, that everybody was being baptized. I pray that there is a place of baptism for you tonight. And there's a place of baptism for us all in this conference. And there's a place of baptism for everybody on this planet who desires to be a member of the kingdom of God. Everybody was being baptized, which means non-exclusive, all-inclusive, by faith, by promise. For it is the desire of God that none shall perish, but also come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. So there's room for everybody. Many have been baptized, but there's room for more. Say hallelujah, somebody. The Bible says that whilst Jesus also being baptized, why was he being baptized? Why was there a need for him to be baptized? Because he's God. You see, the book of Matthew presents Jesus as the Lion of Judah. The book of Mark presents him as the wonder worker, the carpenter. He works, he's a worker. But the book of Luke represents him as the Son of Man. Here, for him to be a son of man, born by a human in God's nature, you must have that baptism that identifies you as a son legitimately. So that one day the devil will not say it is not fair. So the devil will have no accusation against God, because he is the accuser of the brethren, looking for any opportunity. So anything humans must go through, Christ had to go through absolutely. So he could be the Son of Man. That he could be the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn of all sons of God. So that everything sons of God will have to go through, he will go through, so as to qualify us as legitimate sons of God in all righteousness. Say hallelujah. So he had to go through the baptism like everybody else was going through. But the Bible says that he was praying. He was praying. Everybody else was being baptized, and they considered it as, oh, what a new fad. It's a new religion. Oh, it's cool. Wow. But he was praying because he knew what it meant. And he was in tune with heaven. The Bible says the heaven was opened. The heaven was opened. I'm getting into my message. Say hallelujah, somebody. The heaven was opened. The heaven was opened. So it means that the heavens can be shut. The heaven can be shut. So it's likely that there was a dimension of opening from heaven to the earth that was never there until the day he was being baptized. It opened the heavens from dimensions the earth had never experienced before. When the heaven got opened, the next verse says, and the Holy Ghost descended. The Holy Ghost descended. It was almost as if heaven had to be opened for the great God, Holy Ghost, to step into time. He was kept in a concealed atmosphere of heaven. But when the heaven was opened, the Holy Ghost came down. My goodness, I pray that the Holy Ghost is open unto you. And I pray that the heaven is open unto you. Which means there's a connection between the Holy Ghost activity in your life and the opening of heavens. If God is our Father and we are the sons of God, there must be a portal, there must be a highway between Father and sons. There must be access. And the Holy Ghost is in this world to keep that access for all of us. To all of us. The Bible says the heaven was opened sovereignly. The heaven was opened deliberately, not accidentally. And the Holy Ghost descended. And may the Holy Ghost descend tonight. The Bible says he stepped into time. I said he stepped into time. I said he stepped into time. And the Bible says he stepped into time like a dove So he wasn't a dove, like a dove. Like a dove. He's God. He came like a dove upon him, upon Jesus. So the Holy Ghost came like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven and said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased." So here you see the activity of the Trinity right there. Jesus was in the water being baptized. The heaven was opened, Holy Ghost came down. Then the Father also spoke, "My Son." So you see in one event, the activity, the practical activity of the Holy Trinity, all in one episode. One of the very first times in the Bible that the three were revealed like that. One of the first times in the Bible was when God said, "Let us make man in our image." Genesis 1 verse 26. But this one, it was a new day. It was a new time. Even Abraham did not experience this. Moses did not experience this so practically. All the Old Testament high prophets and saints never experienced the manifestation of the three in one time. That was a big day. And that big day has become our normal day. So receive the anointing, please. That big day was to introduce this new covenant called the kingdom of God. Tonight, I welcome you into the kingdom of God. Say hallelujah, somebody. We are in the atmosphere of the kingdom of God. We are in the atmosphere where the kingdom of God is identified among men by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Father spoke. The Bible says the Son received the word. The endorsement of the Father. Not only was the Father's endorsement, but also the endorsement of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost came and stood upon him, perched upon him, endorsement. His Father put his word upon him, endorsement. Listen, gentlemen, anytime we are talking about the Holy Ghost, anytime we are talking about baptism, there is an endorsement. And the endorsement of heaven is more powerful than the endorsement of man. There was a time I used to be so troubled when men rejected me until I found a revelation. Good riddance. Say hallelujah, somebody. I said good riddance. And I found out in Psalm 27 that David caught that revelation. He said, "If my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up." One of the key identities we have as when the Holy Ghost is with us is that we have this sovereign endorsement of God. That our confidence is supernatural. Our confidence and approval is supernatural. And it is inert. It's within. It's too deep to be carried, to be cut off your body, even by a surgical knife. No amount of surgical knife can take away your approval from God when the Holy Ghost is with you. Receive this anointing right now. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what people have said about you. It doesn't matter what kind of stigma the enemy tries to put upon you. This kind of sovereign identity and approval breaks through for you at all times. You just need to know how to shake yourself off. Say amen. Amen. Look at someone and say, "Shake yourself off." So because of this endorsement, you can easily rebound. Something happens negative to you, you can always rebound. Somebody says something you don't like, it can only last as long as you allow it. As long as you allow it. You want it for 3 years, you will have it. You want it for 2 minutes, it's gone. Because there is an inbuilt endorsement and approval sovereignly that is more powerful than 1,000 words. Of your enemies. Receive this anointing, please. Now, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon him. And the next verse, verse 23, please. Verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. So Jesus Christ began his ministry after when the Holy Ghost came upon him. That's for manifestation. There was another time when the Holy Ghost was mentioned. That was the pregnancy of Mary. That the Holy Ghost shall come upon Mary. And that holy thing shall come to pass. Luke chapter 1, please. Look up from verse 33. Say hallelujah, somebody. Look at someone and say, who is the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is the angel speaking to Mary about this child that shall be born. And his kingdom, there shall be no end. And his kingdom, there shall be no end. Yes. The next verse says that, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? See, I know not a man. Angel, you have told me amazing things today. You have told me impossible things today. You have told me glorious things today. But it doesn't compute in the logical world, because there are too many impossibilities functioning in your word. Thanks for your word, but there is no dynamism in the natural to bring that to pass. The next verse says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost, say the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest. So the angel was saying that, number one, the Holy Ghost is the power of the highest. He is the power of the highest. Who is the Holy Ghost? He is the power of the highest. He said he shall overshadow you, which means the power of the highest has covering tendencies. He will come and cover you. He will come and overshadow you. He will come and enclose you. He will come and clone you. He does that.
This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen of World Ministries International. Once again, you're listening to the program Warning. I hope you enjoyed today's message. Dr. Emmanuel Ziga speaking on who is the Holy Spirit. Now tomorrow we'll continue with his message. Ladies and gentlemen, my phone number is 360-629-5248. 360-629-5248. Once again, 360-629-5248. We do need your help to stay on this local radio station. My website, worldministries.org. That is worldministries.org. You can give by PayPal or Zelle. The reference number for Zelle is warning@worldministries.org. That's warning@worldministries.org. God bless you.